Welcome to the Sunday evening services at the Airport Gardens Baptist Church. This is Sunday evening, January the 23rd, 1983.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. They're not trust of sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other grounded sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found. Rest in his righteousness alone. Fought must to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground. Sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
This time, Brother Tom is going to come to give us a word of testimony. Brother Tom Watts, he may have a word of scripture to give to us or whatever the Lord lays on his heart. Thank God for you, Brother Tom. Come share a word with us.
Sam, you might as well sit close to the piano. We're going to play a song here shortly. Oh, you know, sometimes I wonder what is a testimony. You know, what... I think a testimony is really just praising the Lord through your own life. Sometimes, I don't know, we get caught up in the woos and woes of the world so much that I know it's real easy with me and Christians is what I'm talking about right now. We've got things too easy, you know. We got too much. It's too easy to lay home and watch TV or to have some excuse not to be in the house of the Lord. And you know, sometimes we even God, one hour a day on a Sunday kills a lot of us. It's hard, seems like, to get to church, or you know, we make it seem. But really, we ought to be thankful, at least on a Sunday. I know I get awful lazy Sunday nights sometimes. But we ought to be here for every service on Sunday, really. I know my Sunday school class, I really enjoy a Sunday school class. I believe this is bad about getting a young Christian, when he first becomes a Christian within a year or two, get him too active in church. You've got to get him active, but you know, get him active in something that he won't get burned out on. And I know when I become a Christian, right away they put me into teaching a Sunday school class, and I tell you, it become a dread to me. I wanted to hear a I didn't have no confidence in myself as a teacher. I hadn't grown enough, I think. You've got to study the Word, and study the Word to show yourself approved. And I hadn't at that time. I was interested in just hearing good preaching or hearing a good teacher. I enjoyed hearing Carolyn Combs we used to have here. She got up a lot of times and taught a Sunday school class. And then we R.T. Barker had a little one night a week, I believe it was, had a little study over at his house. And I tell you, I really was interested in learning. But now, since being a Christian about 10 years, it's real easy to want to be a teacher. To me it's real exciting to try to help young people. You can tell them some of the experiences that you went through yourself about education, a lot of things, just your own life. And of course, a lot of people like myself, you have to learn, by experiencing things. But I'll tell you, as a teacher, you need to be, seasoned a little bit as a Christian. I don't know if you can become seasoned as a Christian, but you need to get a little age, get a little studying in your system before you become a teacher. And we went down to, I heard two pretty good messages this morning. In fact, I heard two good messages this morning. One down at Dartee's and Brother Linden and Brother Fraley. I tell you, Brother Fraley there was thanking and praising the Lord for what he had, what the Lord had done for him, all the good things that the Lord had done for him and was going to continue to do. I get sometimes stale. I just drop off somewhere. And I think this is the problems of the world. That's old Satan. He'll get a hold of you some way. And when you, especially, look how empty we are here tonight. People, they're stale. They think it's really a burden to a lot of people to be here 1 hour a day, and to be here on a. I hear sometimes go to other churches, and you hear preachers say, "Boy, Wednesday night we can't even get people out here for prayer meeting on Wednesday night." I guess that's the hardest meeting to get people out on. But we've got too much, and then we complain, "Oh, we're having it rough today." This has been long overdue, I think. I think we still got it way too good. I know there's a lot of people out of work, but I'll tell you one thing: being out of work and things like this might get a person turned around and get on the right road. I don't know. We don't know what the Lord's plan is, but we do know that the Lord don't make no mistakes. And I've gotten any more work where I like to be here on Sunday morning anyway. I like my Sunday school class and the service on a Sunday. I enjoy it when I come up here on Sunday night or Wednesday night. I enjoy it, but I'm awful sorry to get up here. It's hard to, I don't know, it ain't hard, it's just, we let other things get us involved. This is just my story. Everybody else may have a different story, but I think my biggest problem is I've got things too easy and I'm too sorry. Sorriness, I think, is the biggest problem for people not being out here on Sunday school in the morning. There's a lot of people can't. I mean, if you work and things like this, and Brother Tom here, he's got a problem. But I mean a lot of the people. A lot of the people just, it's a chore. I don't want to go to Sunday school. Brother, if you go to Sunday school and you hear a good teacher, you get something out of it. You get just about as much out of some of the Sunday school classes as you will of the preaching classes. And I know in my class I get plum hip sometimes, I guess you'd call it, on the I know when I was in high, just give you a little, when I was in high school, boy, getting out of high school, you don't know where you want to go to college or not. You know you wanted to go to college, but did you have the money? Anymore, it's not a fact. when I get out of high school, do I want to go to college? It's the fact now you have to go to college if you're going to make anything of yourself. And things are getting harder all the time, and we need to rely more on the Lord. The Lord should be the center of all of our everything we work for, our family. But the sad thing about it is He's not most of the time. But I think we're going to have to just get back. It's going to have to get rougher on us all. I think before we'll really realize what it's all about, because this life is just a passing through stage. Everything that we do in this life should be preparing us for the hereafter, because that's where we're going to be all time. We're just a flash here to what we're going to be in the heaven or hell, wherever a person prepares herself for. And I'll not take up more Brother James' time. I'll let Sandy play this song for us. You're along the road. I'm going to stand over here.
He gives me joy and makes the darkest night to shine. It is my Lord who won my heart one day. I do not mind Savior too, and since that day He's journeyed by my side. I do not mind the rough and winding pathway or mountain steep.
Brother Earl, we'd like for you to come at this time and give us a word of testimony. Then after this, we have Brother Tom's favorite song, I believe, when we all get to heaven, a verse or two of that we can sing, Brother Tom.
I was looking last night for something to talk about there in the Bible. Couldn't find nothing. And, you know, I think what something Tom started to say there a while ago was really you can't... you can't really come up here and give your testimony, because your testimony is something, you live it. And I can come up here and say anything, and if a man's a good enough speaker, which I ain't, and walk out like $1 million, but your testimony is something you live. So what I am, good or bad, and I guess mostly bad, it's there. No matter what I say, my testimony is already there. And so since I have to say something, I'll just try to, brag on the Lord some. And you know, really, I got to thinking about that. And I can't even really do that, because I remember when I first got saved down in Louisiana, just a night or two later, and I didn't know nothing about being a Christian, and it was all about as new as it could be. But I knowed I was saved, and I know the Lord died for me, and that's about all I know about the Bible. Just a few verses I hear the preacher read, and I believed in the Lord, and I believed He died for me, and I asked Him to save me, and I know He had when I asked Him to, just because I'd ask Him somehow. I don't know how I know, because I didn't know much of nothing. But I know the Lord had saved me, and I was happy. And I remember a night or two later, I was laying in my bunk one night, and I'd been reading my Bible, and everybody went to bed, and I was saying my prayer, and I was just talking to the Lord. I didn't know how to pray, so I was just talking to Him, and I remember, I said, "God, I love You." And when I said it, I felt so good inside, because it come right from the heart. But you know what? Here several years later, I didn't really know the Lord enough to know who I was loving. And now that I've got to know the Lord better, then now I really do love Him more now. Because then I loved God because He'd saved me, and because I needed something in my life, and He gave it to me, and I was happy. But I really didn't know God then, not to the point to where I know what a friend now that I've really got. And I wish I could preach you a good sermon tonight, but He didn't call me to preach, and I can't. And I wish I could sing you a song like Tom did, but Sandy might mess up on that piano and embarrass both of us, so I won't sing. But I just wish there was some way I could say something good enough about God, but I can't say nothing that's good enough. So I just got to thinking about some of the things He's done for me. And you know, you look back at the things that's closest to you, and you see your young'uns laying in bed, and they're laying there asleep, and that won't make you realize a little bit about how God loves you. When you sit and see that young'un that's your own flesh and blood, and it's as close to you as anything about it that you can think of, and stop and think, somebody made that little person or persons laying there, and think that if I see to my two boys laying in the bed asleep, I couldn't have handpicked or made or created or imagined up something any dearer to me than that. I couldn't have done it. God had to do it. And I was thinking back about this past few days here. Nett's been in the hospital there a week, and here I was running around doing the cooking. It's not pleased the boys too much, but me doing the cooking and taking care of the house and makes a man appreciate what he's got at home. And I just think back about all the little things that she does, like Christmas. She always makes a big deal over everybody's stockings, and she's out of hunting little old things in a stocking to make it special. And it's little things like that that makes Christmas, adds a whole lot to it. And you know, stockings and decorating a tree and stuff, you know, it don't really, you know, I don't really go in for that all that much. But the fact that she does it and makes the home a home, I appreciate that. And you know, a lot of times your man says that, I've got this, or I've got that, or this is what I done, but I don't really feel like I no more married her than nothing. I believe that the Lord made her for me, and I thank God for her. in my voice. And that's just like this church. I made a mistake a lot of times. I said, well, I looked around here and there, and that's the church I liked, and I chose it, and that's where I started going, but I don't really believe it happened that way. I don't believe that I picked this church out. I believe that I don't know where God made this church for me, or made me for this church, or how exactly it worked out, but I believe that God created the spirit in this church, and He put a spirit in me that wasn't there before, and blessed me by sending me here. And I believe that if we're in a church very long, I believe it's because that's where God wants you. And I don't believe He wants us going here and there and this, that, and other. I believe He wants you somewhere serving Him. And I thank God for this church and for everybody in it. And I don't know, it seems like over the last few years I've changed a whole lot of my thinking about a lot of things. I thank God for everybody here, because there ain't a person in this church from the youngest Christian to the oldest that I ain't learned something from. I guess I've changed a lot of things in the last few years. It don't seem like it. I always felt like, well, I'm young, I've got my life ahead of me. But if you stop and look around and think about things, I'm 33-year-old. My life's half gone. There's a lot of people I love and know that they leave this world at double my age and a little bit before double. And it's like Mom, she didn't even... She was 54 when she died, and I'm over half that now. And my life may be half gone. And I just hope and pray that some way, whatever I've got left of it, that I can take and make it worthwhile something, worth something to the Lord, because He is everything to me. You know, you can have anything you want in this world. And you can't name a thing that you can't lose except what God gives you. That's just like my children. I can lose them in a heartbeat. But they really don't belong to me like a lot of things do. It's just something He's loaned me. I just pray that He'll give me the Janetta, the strength to raise them, to make them what He would want them to be. And if they don't never do nothing else, I hope my two boys love and serve the Lord, because if they do that, then someday you talk about being successful, they may not live in Woodland Park, but they'll walk on a street of gold wherever their house is. And I just pray that above everything else, that my family loves and serves the Lord. And I just wish there's some way that I could say something good enough about Him, but I can't. And you know, everybody's got faults, and you're supposed to confess your faults one to another. And like everybody else, I guess, I used to worry about the old things of this world and things. But in the last few years, it seems like a lot of that's left me, because when you start seeing your family and your friends and people you love and what happens and how easy we're snatched out of this world, you start realizing things in this old world ain't important, because it don't last long. And it makes men realize just how little this old world's worth. And it's like that old song, "This world's not my home." More and more every day I feel like that. I care less about this world, and I guess maybe that's a sign I'm growing closer to the Lord. But I've got a big fault. I still worry about worldly things. I don't want them for myself as much as I want for my wife and my boys. And that's a weakness, because a man's treasure should be strictly spiritual things. But that's, I could care less whether I've got a wool jacket on or a Levi jacket. I'm comfortable in either one. The more comfortable, I guess, the less I've got. But I don't want worldly things for myself, but I do worry about having things and providing for my wife and my family, you know, and my kids. And that's a fault I've got, and a weakness, and I guess I need prayer over that, because I want security and things for my family, but Maybe I need to trust more on the Lord. If it's myself, I don't care, but for them, I do. And that's just a big weakness I've got, and I need prayers. But I wish there's something I could say good about the Lord, but He is tops. He's everything. And I just ain't good enough. I don't know enough, and I can't speak good enough to brag on Him like He should be. But one of these days soon, when I'm like Him, then I'll be able to say something good enough. I'll be able to sing pretty enough for Him. Because if I'm bad, it's bad up there as I am here singing. There'll be enough angels drowning me out that I'll look good anyway.
We'd like for Tom, you and Fred to come and sing for us. We'll just leave that last song out.
This is James. Brother James is fifth service you've had today, isn't it? We had one over. This is your fourth. We've had four today. We didn't go to nursing home today, but we was down at RT this morning, and RT was bringing out a message that really got to me. Like a slave. They're slaves, and people try to free slaves. Well, they freed the slaves, the colored people. They freed them. And James, he don't care here. He won't have much to say here in a few minutes. But okay. Okay. Well, Tom, we gonna take a little bit longer. But anyway, Brother RT was bringing out a message. He was talking about, for Christ, well, God, he sent is the only way he approached the devil, and he asked the devil, what price will you take for these people, for the freedom of these people? And the devil says, there's no price. There's only one thing that'll set these people free, and that's your death. Okay. The Lord cared so much, God, He went back to God, and God cared so much for the people that He sent Christ Jesus to die to free us from our enslavement to the devil. Now, we look at it like that. In other words, we should really be wanting the Lord to free us. Then, when the Lord died for our sins, people is even today still accept it. They say, I don't want my freedom. I want to be enslaved to the devil. I don't want that. He just died for nothing. Well, now, friends, he didn't die for nothing. He died for the ones that really, I really appreciate him dying for us.
You want to tell me where it is?
186. I don't remember what page I have here. Fred, you might give a testimony here while I'm... Come morning, page 92. I'll tell you, we make mistakes. Sandy there, she thought she'd made a mistake. That wasn't no mistake. We don't make mistakes inside of it. To me, we're having a good time. I'm not worried about mistakes.
God's children too long have been burdened. They are longing for heaven's green shore, where heartaches are left far behind us. Carry no more.
come by and see you. It's a blessing to our church, along with all these other men that participated today in our services. Just come, brother. God bless you.
Well, you know how everything is, that in this world, a lot of people, everything, the worst is saved for last, so you're... That's true tonight, too. So, but that's one thing we can look at as far as a Christian. Everything's not, you know, the last thing is not the worst thing in their life. And, of course, all of you know me, how long I've been a Christian. In fact, the anniversary date was not too long ago. It's been a little over 3 years now. I guess I was just like a lot of people. Before I came to know the Lord, lost, stumbling, no goals, no purpose in life, just living from day to day, no cares, no regard to the neighbors, the friends, the relatives, to the family that you seem like the Lord instills in you once you become saved. But there's one thing about it, you know, now that I am saved, I do have Him. He is with me constantly. He's guiding me. He gives me a little confidence when I'm in a situation as I am now, and that most of you are my training union students. And I've grown to get a little courage in speaking by being among most of you. I thought about this day here several weeks ago. I received some information in the mail on the, I guess it was a brotherhood or something on this, on Baptist Men's Day. And I thought about this, and I don't know what brought it into my mind, but I think anything that's related to the church and the Christian life that's brought into your mind is done so by the Lord. And I said, Lord, what could I say? What could I do? I want to be pleasing to Thee. I want to say something that's acceptable to Thee. And many times I think about this. My son, he's nearly 2 years old now. He brings smiles upon my face. Even after work, when I've had a hard day at work and I'm down or something, come in and he can run over to me and tell me to take my coat off and make yourself at home, I guess, to add to that. And that really brings some joy into your life. But I think in another way, I wonder how many smiles I brought to Jesus. He's looking and evaluating my life. I'm a child of His. I wonder if I brought a smile upon His face today. And I share things with you that is out of my heart. I have prayed on this. And I have prayed to Him that my life is pleasing and acceptable to Him. I know my life has been unpleasant for Him many years. I stand up here, a three-year-old Christian, less than 10% of my life has been lived for the Lord. That's shameful. But I can lean upon Him. I can depend upon Him. I can thank Him for saving me. There was many of a Sunday that I was a visitor here and that I wasn't saved. I wanted to walk the aisle. But just as I mentioned in training union tonight, there was something on my shoulders just keeping me down. And one morning, December the 2nd, 1979, that burden was lifted from me. And I was able to rise and walk the aisle. And I think that there's a lot of things that changed over the past 3 years to me. And I think that people that have looked upon me may say the same thing. But if I do anything, I hope the Lord receives the glory and the praise for it. I thank Him for giving me this church and the people that's encouraged me through the training union and everything I've done here. There's a lot of encouragement y'all give at times, and I thank you for that, because as a young Christian stepping out here trying to teach a class or trying to do something for the Lord, a lot of times it gets pretty hard. You know, we just try to do our best, and I think that the Lord's going to bless you for it. I think you've got to put so much into something to get anything out of it. The Lord expects so much, and I just hope and pray that I am giving Him that much, and at times I give over. I've seen at times people shake hands, and you know, sometimes some of them will reach a little farther than the other. I like to think in terms of my service to the Lord that way. I went over that mark a little further than I was supposed to. Carried a little bit heavier load or done a little bit more for them, for Him, than He expected me to do. A little more pleasing life to Him. In thinking back on this letter that I got, I asked Him to help me, and He said, introduce me to the people. I said, well, I said, that's kind of hard to do. I don't know you that well. He said, then the scripture verses, I've read the Bible through several times, started coming to me. I remember the chief introduction was the day the Lord was baptized. Said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And then I think in terms of He Himself introducing Himself. And He says, I am the light of the world. I am the true vine. And there are 7 I am sayings, I'm pretty sure of. I think they all are in the book of John. I may be wrong, but there was others that came to me out of the Old Testament, but I didn't write them down. When He was giving me this, I should have wrote it down, because evidently it was something major, and I should have, you know, but there comes the world back into the picture. There's something happened that cut my mind off of this, and I lost touch of what I was supposed to do. But it's a wonderful thing to know the Lord, know you're saved. You see everything going on in the world like it is. You can be treated and abused and used in this life by people in the world. The thing about it is, when you get home that night, you can still go to the Lord in prayer, even though you've been drugged through the mud that day, or you've been on some mountaintop and everything's been right. And I've seen days, and I'd just like to share this with you, that I've come to the Lord in the same frame of mind, prayer, as the times I've been drugged through the mud, as the times I've been on the mountaintops. I wanted to come to Him and to thank Him just for being there with me, you know, because a lot of times those mountaintops aren't what you think they are. They're here and gone. And what you may think is a mountaintop may be a valley in some cases after it ends up. But in finishing up, what I'd like to say, there's quite a few verses here I'd like to read that means a whole lot to me, and Proverbs is one of them. And chapter 3, I'm going to read the first 10 verses. And then I'm going to leave one more verse with you, probably one of the most important verses that a young Christian can carry with him. And it's one that I've carried with me pretty nearly 3 years now that I've known it. Chapter 3, verse 1 in Proverbs. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. And here is two of the best verses of the 10. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. I started to just read 5 and 6, but it seems like when you get into reading a couple of verses, there's always some that ought to be read before and ought to be read after. It's just not that you can read a couple and get the full understanding of them, but those 10 are separated, and they're all closely related to each other in my Bible. And the last verse, which is a verse that I had memorized, and I had it memorized as far as the verse, but the scriptural reference I didn't remember. But I thought it was in Peter, and after looking it up, it was. And it's in 2 Peter 3:18. And I've carried this verse with me many times, thought on it, and it's, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And to me, that's what I hope my life is a glory and a pleasing and acceptable thing to the Lord. And if I leave anything behind, my family, relatives, or whatever it may be, I hope it's a Christian heritage that will pass on and on and on. And if I'm remembered for anything, I can say that Tom was a good Christian. That's all it's about, I think. But I don't know of anything else that we're going to leave behind. And what else would you want to leave behind? You want to leave memories, precious memories, and those memories would be Christian memories to the people you leave behind. Thank you all.
This has been a wonderful day in my life, and I trust it has been in your life. We'd like to stand and have this as a prayer for our time today. Have that on way, Lord. 342. It's always best to let the Lord have His way in our lives. Let's stand and sing all 4 stanzas straight through. 342.